Hi, families. Welcome to this episode. Before we get started, I wanted to take a second to tell you about Gab Wireless. They are the creators of the world's safest phones for kids ages 4 and up. Now, I'm speaking as a parent who has had to deal with making the decision of whether or not to get my kids cell phones. So I highly recommend that before you buy your child a cell phone, do yourself a favor and look into Gab's devices. They are the perfect alternative to fully loaded smartphones. And they include everything that your child needs to stay connected to you, minus the distraction and risks like social media and the internet. Plus, I can personally attest to how nice it is to talk to my children on their own devices instead of having to go through my ex. For example, my older daughter, who's around 12, has the Premium Plus phone now. And my youngest, who is 6, has the watch, which she's had for a couple of years, and they call me whenever they need me and send me texts whenever they need me. So it's been really, really awesome for us. Not to mention how super affordable Gab's devices and accessories and calling plans are. So if you're in the market for a phone for your child, go to Gab Wireless, that's GABBWireless.com, and at least comparison shop, right? No harm, no foul. And if you decide to shop and get something, you can get an exclusive discount just for being a listener if you use our promo code. And that code is COPARENT. See? Easy to remember. COPARENT. COPARENT. So feel free to use it. And if you become a proud Gab parent, don't forget to tag us on social media. Hi, this is Rosalie Farnsworth, and you're listening to The Co-Parenting Collective. Hi, co-parents. So in this week's episode, we chatted up with Tony. He's a single dad from New York who's loving his life as a new father. Now, he took his time deciding to become one, so being good at it is very, very important to him. Unfortunately, as he'll discuss, the only way he was able to accomplish this goal was to leave the stormy relationship that he had with his son's mother. Now, as a rookie dad and co-parent, he isn't taking anything for granted, and he has really high hopes for the future of co-parenting with his ex. And as you listen, see if you can guess what his favorite part of being a dad is so far. Let's go. So how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Not too bad. Thank you. How you doing?
Good. So I wanted to talk about co-parenting. But before we get into all of that, I'm just going to introduce you based on what I know, and then you can fill in the gaps, right?
Sure.
Okay. So today, welcome to the Co-Parenting Collective. And today we are talking to Tony. And I don't know if you want to give your last name.
What's up? Yeah, Tony Blay.
Okay. Tony Blay. And we connected on Instagram. And are you single?
Yes.
Okay, single, and he has a one-year-old son, so he's a single father of a one-year-old son named Jake, and his son's name is Jacob. You were in the military?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What, the Army, right?
Army, yep, still in the Army.
Yeah, Army, okay.
Yeah, and it's all the same.
Yeah. And then as far as work, what do you do?
Right now, I'm a security professional.
Okay.
So I'm,
okay, and you're from New York, so you're doing all that in the city right now during coronavirus madness, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my brother-in-law worked, actually he was on NYPD for like 30 years, and now he does security for like federal security, something like that. It's very hush-hush stuff or whatever it is.
But, yeah, he's totally understand that.
And he said it's wild right now with the COVID and everything.
Definitely is.
And then thank you. I want to thank you since we have you on, but thanks for being an ambassador.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, yeah, you know, thank you for, you know, being an ambassador and putting yourself out there for other co-parents and being willing to share your story and help them along and help them figure
definitely,
it out.
Definitely.
I love your little moniker, the Rookie Dad of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
It was just one of the things that came upon this talking. And I was like, you know, I'm just a rookie dad. Like, I'm brand new to this. And I was like, you know what? That has a nice ring to it. Like,
I
rookie
love
dad
it.
Of the year. And I looked it up. I was like, I'm coining that.
Yes. It's mine now. I'm trademarking it.
Yeah.
But do you get a lot of dads, the first time dads in your message box or contacting you?
I have. And I've gotten some first time dads, but I've gotten a lot of dads that are like been dads for a little bit of time. Kind of like in my same position, their children are young and they're a few early years of between 1 to 5 years old. And it's kind of like, hey, I've been in this predicament. How can I help myself out of it? Or how can I go about like communicating with my significant, with my co-parent and things of that nature?
Right.
So it's been real helpful. It's been one of those things where I haven't really been a father for long, but I'm going into it 110% and then some, and I'm loving every aspect of it because it opened me up to a whole new world of helping people out, helping friends out that I've met and known of their situations. But now I can kind of relate to them on a one-on-one because before I wasn't a father till I was 35, you know, so I've seen a lot of people, and even my own brother, you know, but couldn't really relate to them on a one-on-one aspect. And now I can, and it's like, hey, you know, I read about this, or I've heard about this, or I saw this video. And for me, I'm like a sponge, you know, I'm like a 1-year-old myself, where all this information coming in for co-parenting and then releasing the information to other dads out there that may not have known it, or kind of like I can just reiterate it to them, but just more of a personal level, being that I know the person. It's helped out tremendously, you know.
That's amazing. And I'm so glad to hear that you're willing to pay it forward like that. I always joke with people. I'm like, you know, because I've worked with hundreds of families around the world, and I always say, you're getting literally the culmination of 20 years of co-parenting. Yeah. Before, you know, there's a lot of luxuries right now with the cell phones and the FaceTiming and videos and stuff like that.
Oh, big time.
I was co-parenting before it was co-parenting, before there was any of that stuff, before there was text messages and all these things. And, you know, it's the culmination of everything that I, you know, just my personal experiences, everything that I dove into to help myself during the hardest parts of it. And then, you know, all the therapy, all the counseling, every book I've ever read, right? So it's amazing that you're doing that and just putting yourself out there. I think it's so admirable. But I wanted to ask.
Thank you.
So what's the backstory? Were you ever married?
No, never married. With my co-parent or just in general?
Yeah, with Jacob's, would be Jacob's mom, right?
Yeah, his mom. Yeah, we never married or anything like that. It's one of those, I guess you can kind of say, when fools rush in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of like, we got caught up in the moment with things. And at one point it felt great. And then a lot of the skeletons in the closet started to come out. You know? And then that's when the relationship itself became a lot of toxicity. And, you know, at one point I had to realize for myself that, you know, I couldn't be the dad who I wanted to be for my son, Jacob, and had to kind of like to throw in the towel at that point for best for everybody in that sense, you know, because it wasn't healthy for anybody.
Right. And that, you know, 100% of people say that, you know, no matter what the relationship that they came from was, whether it was marriage, whether they never had a relationship and it was, you know, I hate to say accident. I hate using that word, but let's say like an oops baby, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever the circumstances, but 100% of people say that. They're like, I couldn't be the parent I wanted to be because all the relationship stuff, which is always suffocating. And I can speak on that because that is exactly what happened to me. It was like the relationship stuff was so distracting and you really want to get into being a parent and enjoying it, but you can't because it's so much, you know, it's almost like trying to parent in a hurricane, isn't it?
It is. And terrible. I mean, it is one of the, I would say it was like one of the worst feelings, where you're going through that. And, you know, I know she wasn't fond of it when I said that I couldn't be a dad until after like 6 months after my son was born, mm-hmm. you know, and we had already split in that sense. And, mm-hmm. you know, I slowly, because I had to find myself all over again throughout the relationship as I lost myself being in it, mm-hmm. and who I was and qualities who made me. Mm-hmm. Then I began to then say, you know what, you're dad now, you know? So regardless of me still working on myself, I have my son who I need to be a dad to,
right?
You know? And in doing so, it was one of those concepts to where, okay, dad is going to have to push some of his personal issues to the side because I have to be a dad now,
right?
You know? And I didn't want to have that recycle of what my dad did to me, mm-hmm. of just not being there with every excuse underneath the sun, yeah. to then reiterate that to my son, you know? So I made it a point not to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And especially my son being so little, which I'm blessed to have, that the split mm-hmm. didn't happen when he was 5 or 6, where he saw a lot of the ugliness within the relationship.
A little more aware.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I think that, isn't it, there's such a dichotomy there because we're in the co-parenting space. So we yeah. understand how important it is for parents to, you know, get over their own issues and parent their child. And mm-hmm. so how do I say this? You want to co-parent, right?
Yeah.
And you come, but when you come from, like, you know, I like you said, your father wasn't the greatest. So he wasn't a co-parent. He was doing his yeah. own thing and putting himself first. But maybe without him being a bad parent, you wouldn't have ended up to be such a great co-parent. Who knows? I doubt yeah. it, because your character, you know, you're born as you're born, right? You've got yeah. your personality and how you're born. So maybe you would have, maybe you wouldn't. But it's funny yeah. how we fight so hard to do the best for our children, and yet without those struggles.
Without struggles in the background to actually build us to who we are.
Yeah.
Like I'm a firm believer of having both parents in a child's life. There's so many proven statistics that prove yeah. that father and mother should be in a child's life. If not the biological, or at least the figures of a mother and father should definitely be there.
Right.
But also for the fact is that, you know, I always tell myself, if my dad wasn't who he was to give me my baseline on what a father shouldn't be,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't have been the person more or less than I am now, mm-hmm. maybe still kind of sort of, but I would have learned how to address certain situations and issues differently, because seeing a mother and father learn how to communicate and give and take in relationships,
mm-hmm.
then I can then do that in my own relationship, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah. I'm not saying that's specifically what happened to my relationship, but in a general sense, you know, just seeing that for kids could then they pretty much mimic what you do in your relationships mm-hmm. in their relationships, mm-hmm. you know, and thinking that, okay, this is how we're supposed to do this, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. And I think that, you
yeah.
know, I think people don't realize, like, even if your child never saw a fight, they can still feel tension. They can still observe body language. I mean, we all know by now, it's 2020, that body yeah. language speaks louder than whatever our context is. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have the tone of your voice and things like that. So even if you're not outright brawling in front of your children, they can still pick up on everything. I'm convinced that if I stopped talking today, I could still parent my kids in a way that they would turn out to be just fine because of the way that I am. You know, I'm very loving yeah. things that I do. And, you know, I'm able to feel free enough without the baggage of a bad relationship to love them. And they can sense it. They know, they feel it. So, you know.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I wanted to ask you a few questions.
Of course.
To give us a little bit of your backstory. So so Jacob is only one. So how long have you been co-parenting in the proper sense of co-parenting? Like, he goes back and forth between you and mom,
mm-hmm.
and yep. your account name is Weekend with Jacob. So we know that he's yes. there with you on the weekend.
Yes. Well, I actually have him on a pretty good schedule outside of the weekends.
Yeah.
But I have him 12 days out of the week. You
okay.
know, we're actually going back to the courts just so I can actually do more of a 50-50, 1 week on, 1 week off.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is did you go through the courts or you sorted it out outside the court?
Yeah, we came to a generalized custody agreement.
Yeah.
So we knew exactly the time that we wanted to share. That was a little bit of an uphill for myself. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we came to that agreement. I'll have them the 12 days. She'll have them the 15 days out of the month. And then certain holidays, we have them one vice versa, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas. So it was really detailed and very great custody agreement, which I push on everybody I speak. If you have to go that route within the courts, mm-hmm. I would always prefer to go outside of courts. And if you guys can then communicate accordingly, but if it comes to bad situations where you have to go through the courts, like mine was, mm-hmm. at least kind of come to some kind of amends of what are we looking at? What mm-hmm. are we looking for out of the custody agreement? Mm-hmm. And be realistic about it. So which we were, and essentially some things that came up and arisen that I'm now just going for just a 50-50 where we have 1 week on, 1 week off with Jacob. And at least it gives us a complete 50-50 down the middle mm-hmm. with Jacob. But the custody agreement is important.
Now that he's older, right? Well, the impetus for that is this, he's older now, so you can make those adjustments. And there'll be more coming, usually in the couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be flexible.
Everything would be adjusted and flexible, yes. Yeah, which is not too bad, you know. And, yeah. You know, as a co-parent, you always want to be flexible because, you know, nothing is ever black and white, you know.
Right.
And reason being, you now are working with somebody else and their life and what they have going on, mm-hmm. Their plans and agenda. And then you have to try to mix that and mingle with your plans and your agenda, what you have going on.
Exactly.
So it's definitely some room and flexibility there. It's not too bad, essentially, but I am a big advocate for fathers and fighting for their rights as fathers as well. Mm-hmm. So even on the co-parenting aspect, where for me, it's been an uphill struggle to co-parent itself mm-hmm. rather than others that in the future, I hope to see where I see like families on the website mm-hmm. and everything, they come together, they can do football games together,
yeah.
certain holidays. That's like the ultimate like co-parenting experience mm-hmm. right there, you mm-hmm. know, where you come together, you can be civilized.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, like you said, it's the body language. The children see everything, you know, and they feel everything. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to put myself or my son in that position where he feels the negative energy or the vibes that me and his mom still have mm-hmm. Because we're still working through things. And then essentially it's like, okay, you know, I want to come together on a good page. We can come that hostility and negativity is not in the air anymore. He's not going to sense that and feel that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the ultimate goal for any co-parent, I think would be, you know, mm-hmm. but it's all in the making. It's all in the process. But on my end, I know it's been a more of an uphill battle trying to co-parent with somebody who me personally feels just doesn't want anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So does she push back? You know, you guys obviously aren't a match. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, what I always tell people is common sense comes before common ground.
So yeah, exactly.
the common sense is we are Jacob's parents forever, right? Mm-hmm. Relationships come and go, don't they? But you are
definitely
parents forever.
Yeah.
So even if neither of you ever get married, maybe you won't, maybe you go on to get married and have other, you know, there you still have this son who needs both of you. So is she, you know, you said you were able to come together and sort of put a template together of exactly what you wanted, or maybe you said it was mm-hmm. detailed and then you walk that to court and you file it, right? So that's your backup, something that you go, you know, something quote unquote enforceable. But what are the kind of struggles you have?
You know, I think the biggest struggle right now that I would have is the communication issue.
Okay.
The communication, trying to communicate co-parenting to somebody who specifically didn't have their biological parents always there, mm-hmm. But also had bad relationships, things of that nature. But I think mainly it's just the communication, mm-hmm. Past issues prior to Jacob with relationships, just clouding judgment on what's right and wrong, mm-hmm. you know. I think those are my biggest uphills right now, you know.
So communication. And how do you guys mostly communicate? Is it text message, emails?
Yeah, we have an app that actually the court puts out as well, just so that nobody gets out of line and everything, which is a great idea. And it just monitors certain language and text messages, keywords mainly.
Yeah.
And once they put that forth, we go that route. But then also during transfers of like just exchanging Jacob throughout the week, if there's some like immediately that needs to be asked or a question, then we'll just talk right there briefly.
Yeah.
But that's about it for the most part, you know. And unless it's something like I reached out and said, hey, you know, can we sit down next time we handle Jacob, mm-hmm. can we just sit and talk for a couple minutes or whatever like that? So that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've always been very communicative. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always reached out and say, you know what, I want to be the bigger person. I want to reach out and say, look, you know, what happened. You know, I'm going to say my sorries on this behalf, mm-hmm. and just moving forward. It's, you know, I would like us to be transparent on a lot of things,
hard,
you know,
feelings.
Because we do have Jacob. Yeah. There's always gonna be hard feelings. Yeah. Right. In the beginning, you know, it's never, you know, we yes. broke up because we were great people to each other. We broke up for things of nature. And
I
get that's still fresh being that Jacob's only 13 months.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand that. And I've talked on that to where it's the marathon race. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't the sprint where we're going to right away, 6 months later, we're going to be best of friends. Although some situations might have happened,
mm-hmm.
but majority of them, it's the marathon, you know. And this is a 18, 24, 25 month a year marathon, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, someday you guys are, you know, you're not going to have to talk to each other if you're grandparents together, but Jacob grows up and
you
have grandkids together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
This is, like you said, it's the long haul. And okay. So you guys use the app right now, and
mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's working well. Is that working well for you guys?
Yeah, it works well. It gets our messages across, and you know, little by little, what I'm learning as co-parenting through the site and through just readings and, mm-hmm. and testimonies, I start putting that into play. You mm-hmm. know, in the very beginning of our split, I just grabbed like some key figures of just co-parenting. I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to try to install this, you know?
Yeah.
And I saw it working. I was like, all right, cool. Like, you know, we're both keeping our cool. We're keeping everything separated. You know, we're both here just for Jacob. Let's keep it just for Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always check myself in communication.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I found that her story was then going back into that route, I would then try to pull it back, you know, like, no, let's mm-hmm. stay focused on the topic, you know,
mm-hmm.
and whatever else that's irrelevant at this time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always one of those things where I practice what I preach, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And learning just co-parenting, it's like, okay, this stuff works. Like, all right, I'm gonna start using this. And guys, you know, you guys have issues, hey, just start practice on this, a real basic foundation, you know, just practice on that, you know.
Yeah.
So far it's been working on things. It's not as where I would want it to be, but me being in position where I'm in, as far as my feelings towards the relationship and everything, is a lot different from where her feelings are and the relationship and so on and so forth.
Well, there's always a little bit of that. There's always an imbalance. You know, there's the person who leaves and the person who maybe doesn't want them to leave, or, you know, maybe they both want to leave, but then they're in their heads about, is this right? So you fight that, you know, so there's all the different levels to it, but that's good. You know, you guys, you find your little rhythm at the beginning, and guess what? Nothing is static. We're not talking about a cement block here. We're talking about people. And as I say constantly, you know, we're so lucky as humans that we can change our life and our situation. Literally right now, you could, you know, go move to the North Pole if you wanted to, right?
Exactly.
Can a polar bear move to like the Amazon? No, it can't do that. So we are so blessed to be humans.
Oh, it's amazing.
Embrace the adaptation and the ability that we have to say no and say yes and not be stuck in things that, you know, aren't good for us. So
And sometimes it may not be easy, but
let the dust settle too.
Big.
That is people ask me, what's the first thing I should do? I just got divorced. Like, let the dust settle. You guys need to get oxygen flowing back to your head. Let all the dust settle. Let it just give yourself, you know, I would say like 3-6 months, whatever it takes, so that those emotions fade. Cause it's almost like, you know, if you're not using something, you kind of lose it. Right. That's that old cliche. So let those emotions, don't use those emotions. Don't use all those like really powerful, harsh emotions or whatever it was that caused the breakup. and let it fade. And then you can always reconnect. So maybe in next year, maybe 2 years from now, you and Jacob's mom can reconnect and talk to each other face to face, not through an app. And yeah. Jacob will see that. Or, you know, maybe in 5 years when he's playing baseball or whatever sport, guys can meet up. And, you know, that's how my ex and I reconnected. We had a court order as well. And we definitely needed the dust to settle. And my son was about 3.5, 4, and he started playing t-ball. And nice. That's how we reconnected. We would, after his games, we would like talk about how it went. And then it just kind of, and enough time had gone by as well.
Yeah.
So you're in a good place. You know, your son's still a baby and you're still in the baby stuff. And so it's kind of like this routine, but you know, not much going on extracurricular wise.
Yeah.
And as you get older, there's a lot of things that you both of you should be able to look forward to. You shouldn't you shouldn't be at his, let's say he does play sports or whatever he chooses to do. You shouldn't be there. And for the next 18 years, feel like heaviness and suffering having to be in each other's presence. Right. So hopefully, you know, one day you'll get there.
And yeah, so that's what I look forward to.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then the next big thing I would say is, you know, you seem to be in the right place now. I don't know if you're dating or you're not dating, but I cannot stress this enough. You have to find the right partner. You cannot work so hard to get your co-parenting right and then let someone come in. I give the analogy of like building a house. Imagine you built like a custom house for yourself and then you brought someone in. You literally pounded nails to build your house and then you brought someone in and they lit it on fire. People do that all the time. I think it's wild. Yeah. You know, make sure you're setting the precedent for the next person. And P.S., why would you want someone who's combative to come in your life anyway?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, or at least not accept the fact that you have kids and you do co-parent and things of that nature. And, you know, that's one thing we're having the weekend with Jacob is the fact that, you know, I broadcast and I love being a father. It's a great life for me and I enjoy it. So I am in the dating field and it's like one of those things like, hey, you know, I'm a dad, by the way, just FYI. Yeah.
Right out the gate.
I don't diet. You know, it's on my dating profile and everything. Like, hey, active father out here, like not hiding it. Like,
right.
So, you know, I just don't, you know, the one once a month kind of thing that doesn't do it for me.
Right.
You know.
Good for you.
I think it's definitely a great, great thing to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. So the people that you do bring into your life has to understand that, you know, and those that do and they get it, which is most of the time somebody else with kids and they're trying to co-parent or they just, you know, in my situation, you know, most of the females that I've met so far dating, it's their parents trying to co-parent or the father's just not there.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you could meet somebody who doesn't have children yet and figure that out. But,
you know, far in between.
You'll know. I think you have good, you know, good instinct and you put Jacob first because like, again, relationships come and go. So
he has
to be first. I mean, why wouldn't he be first? The child's childhood is so, you know, our childhood is so fleeting and precious. Think of all the things that could go wrong, that could go right. And it's literally like the roots, like a plant can't function if you rip it out of the ground. So you're like, this is the roots here.
Exactly.
You
know,
you really have to get it right. And then you can send a successful child out into the world and, you know, he can have his own family one day and do the same thing. And I'm very passionate about co-parenting, obviously, if it's not clear.
You don't say.
I'm like, you know, and for me, it really doesn't, there's no agenda, there's no bias. I don't, you know, whoever is co-parenting, not co-parenting, but I hate it when people say broken homes because broken homes is what it used to be, right? Those broken relationships, it was broken. We were coming out of it and we're fixing it. Or when people say, oh, couldn't you stay for the kids? Well, that's ridiculous too, because that's actually what we're doing. We're staying together to be parents. We just cannot be lovers or, you know, husband and wife anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. There's two different lanes here, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing that you're doing, Tony. Yeah. I really do. No,
thank you. I appreciate that a lot. You're definitely.
I always think this. I'm like, you know, all the kids that, for all the parents that I work with, those, you know, I have two young daughters. I have an older son, but I think to myself, you know, when I started this, I'm like, well, if I could just affect one person somewhere, I think that would make a difference, right? I'd be happy with that. But now, you know, after, you know, all these years, I think to myself, you know, one of those children whose parents that I helped could grow up and meet my daughters one day. And who knows? Life is weird like that, right? Exactly. So like, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, they come from, you know, you're just building a healthier home, more healthy kids. You know, the world's not getting smaller. It's getting bigger. So
getting bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot that goes in. I could talk your ear off for the next week.
Oh, no, totally. Down that road, appreciate it. You know,
yeah, but that's where
absolutely right.
Where my mind goes through it all.
Yeah, that's my thing too. With me, it's one of those where, hey, I need to be the dad that I need to be so that he doesn't grow up saying what I used to say or feeling what I used to feel because my dad wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was my whole concept of, you know, Weekend with Jacob had so many reasons to start it and have it, and half of them is because I wanted to be I never wanted to be part of the statistical factor of, hey, you know, you're a single dad now, so on and so forth. But I saw so many stories like that where then in the court system where dads were ruled unfairly.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go through that. And I saw myself going that route. And I said, you know, what if there was an outlet to where some of these new dads or some of these existing dads can then have a better understanding of this court system? Because as much as I don't like the court system that I'm in it, I adore it because of the fact to where it doesn't prevent me from being a co-parent. It doesn't prevent me from being the dad that I need to be for my son, you know?
And you're lucky because, look, if I was ever president, we'd have some big changes. That's where I'd start. Trust me. How we handle family situations and family court and presidents and this, and how all 50 states have their own structures
and regulations.
What the hell is that about? And some of it, some of the rules that are on the some rules, not rule, some of the laws that are on the books are outrageous.
Yeah, big time.
You know, I think that they, you know, it's not like 1800 anymore. Let's
get with the time, you know? Stuff.
And P.S. marriage rates are going down. So what do you, I mean, and people are still having children. So that just the way it's set up doesn't even make sense. We need to have more provisions and legislation that support families that weren't married without having to go in and battle each other. We have to you know, you and me and everyone that is out there trying to change this narrative, we need to say those things. We say, you know, there are other options. Like, you can do this on your own if you can.
Yeah.
Is it good to have a court, you know, a court order if you feel like you kind of need like someone to have your back in case things go sideways? Yeah. Absolutely. Should a dad who is a dad, should a good parent ever have to fight to see their child? Never, ever, not for one sunset, ever.
Yeah.
And I hate that. And you may have noticed that the Co-Parenting Collective is very pro fathers, very.
Oh yeah, it is awesome.
We actually have a big father, very big audience of men. And you know, obviously we're just pro family, okay? So family isn't mom, family isn't just dad. Families are everybody, the grandparents too.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jacob's relationship with your parents,
both sides and grandparents,
all of it counts. It all counts. But it all starts from the crux of the parents, because we're the one that set the tone for the rest of our family, right? So if I went and badmouthed my ex and told everybody I hated him, do you think that my family would be like trying to go around me? They just would want to keep me. So they were like, okay, whatever you say, you know, but that's what happens in most families. It's unfortunate because you can still have a very congruous family without having to be married, and it's okay. Why wouldn't it be okay? Why is, because hate sucks, why wouldn't you want Why wouldn't you want the opposite?
it's energy taking too. Yes, it takes up so much energy to feel that way. Then it's just to be happy, just going. It's like,
it's why exhausting. Would you want to
stay there? Very, very.
I know. Just to think about it is exhausting. I don't know. Maybe it should, maybe I, listen, I am not above saying, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I would like to feel like after 20 years and three children, I know a thing. I
have an idea.
State Farm commercial or whatever. farm, whatever.
Farmers,
the insurance.
We know a thing or two. Because
a thing or two about a thing or two.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what is your favorite part of being a dad? What do you love the most so far? Probably everything, but
yeah, so far everything. I love everything. I mean, even changing diapers. I like, you know, my mom is out here, so she was in Florida, and she was coming up here for business, and it happened to be the same time with my split. So she's been a real big blessing in my life in that sense.
Good.
So like, just the fact that he's able to see my mom because she was down in Florida and I was up here in New York aspect.
Yeah.
It's like, ground, I guess, to like enjoy him. Yeah, she moved. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. She actually moved up here for some business and stuff. Okay. And then she ended up just coming up here and then being local to us. So essentially, it's like great because I was always thinking she's going to be staying in Florida. I have to go see her on certain things. And so she's moved up here. So I love that fact of just seeing my family entwined with my son because I'm the youngest of three. Mm-hmm. And they all have my nieces and nephews. They're always looking at me like, when are you having your kids?
Hello.
You know, so yeah, like literally, like I had my own watch and I was like, you know, it's gonna happen when it happens.
Men
and,
get it too. I don't care. I don't care who, what woman is listening.
They definitely do.
Men get it too.
Definitely do. Definitely. So like seeing my family involved in my son's life is amazing because now it's like I was involved in their kids' life, my nieces and nephews. Now it's like, okay, now it's my turn.
Yes.
Know? Yeah, so I love that part.
Doesn't it almost change the relationship you have with your mom? Because now you're seeing her
big time.
As a parent yourself.
Yeah.
It's like full circle, right? So you have, you probably have 1,000 times more respect for her than you did before you had a child, right? Because now you're, that switch is on in your own mind and you fully understand, or starting to understand what it takes.
Oh, it comes full circle. Full circle. I think she enjoys a little bit because the other portion of me enjoying being a dad is seeing all the things I did as a kid that was crazy and nuts. And I'm like, oh my God, he's going to do the same.
Oh
yeah, it's
God.
In him. Oh, completely in him. Completely in him. That's so amazing. Essentially, like she looks at him and she just says, how are you going to weep what you sow? And there you go. That's going to be your one.
She's like, already wagging her finger like,
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, remember you used to do that? And I'm like,
what you talking about, mom?
exactly and you know I love that aspect. That's probably the best part of it, just seeing him grow, seeing a part of me in somebody now that I actually like. I love it all, you know. And it's crazy because I at one point I never thought of being a dad till I was probably my early 30s. It wasn't until probably say 32, maybe 31, 32, where I was like, all right, maybe I do want to be a dad. You know, I'll try the dad thing out, you know. And me and Jake's mom met, we talked about having a kid, and she has an older daughter. So for her, it was like, all right, you know, we can, you know, get it in and have the baby down the road. And she was 33, I was 34 at the time, and 35. And we said, you know, now or never, and we went forward with it. And so he came fine. It was like, all right, cool. Like, you know what? I finally did it.
Did it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good job on that. High five. You know, I'm wondering, so your ex has an older daughter. How is the relationship between Jacob and her daughter?
It's great. It's a good relationship. I'm not sure as far as how it's been recently because we're not in the same household anymore. But even
Jacob
from
goes here and her daughter lives with her.
Yes.
So the kids. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's good.
So, yeah, it's good. And I know she's always wanted like a sibling because she was the only child.
Right.
And it's almost a 14-year age difference.
Oh, she's almost 14.
Yeah, well, she, well, at the time she was 14, but now she's going to be 16 coming up.
Oh, wow.
So essentially, yeah.
She was basically an only child. Yeah.
She
did that forever.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. Now it feels like I have a baby.
A baby.
Yeah. Well, that's good though. I mean, so I have two little girls, I said before, and my son is 13 years and 13 days older than my middle daughter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
almost the same age gap. Yeah.
Almost the same thing, except for I hadn't planned on having any more children. I was just him and that was that. But then I met somebody who had no children and then also wanted family. So
yeah.
And it's not like I was like, I am not taking the uterus. I don't want kids. No, I'm a very, it wasn't like that. But I just was like, for me, if I'm perfectly honest with you, it was more about the fear of dealing with somebody that was like my ex again. You know how it goes. You fall in love, you trust somebody, you think that all these things are just the way they are, and then they turn out not to be that way, and you're like, whoa. And that was really what it was for me. I just didn't want to have another whoa in my life and also have any kids involved. So that's what it was for me. It all worked out. And so, I have my daughters, and now I think to myself, holy crap, I could have went my entire life without having a daughter, or it blows my mind because they're amazing. Yeah. It's such a different experience. And I don't know, I could talk about that for a month too, but it's a good thing. And you'll figure it out. We figure it out.
Yeah.
Life is funny.
Right now. So I just turned 36 in this past July. And now for me, it's like, okay, 35 was my cutoff. I always say, if I don't have any kids by 35,
oh, we all have cutoffs.
I'm totally fine without them. Yeah,
and then I didn't realize the cutoff gets tied back together.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, we can add a year. Yeah, so even then, some it's like, okay, same concept, meeting somebody who then wants to have more kids. And then it's like, that wow factor. I think any co-parents going into another relationship is one of their main things. Like having the kids, we know that as parents having kids, we know how to take care of the kids. That's not the hard. The hard part is, are this parent going to give me that wow factor again, where I'm just like,
shock and awe. Not the good awe, shock and awe. That's what I said. The bad awe. Yeah. Well, that's exactly. Yeah. And again, I just feel like that's something you can't live fearful,
you can't do,
but I think if you keep your son front and center.
Mm-hmm.
I always kept my son sort of behind the velvet rope. So I dated. But he was no meeting, he was off. And once I found someone that I, was comfortable with, then it was and then again, this is my story, but I think that the kids should be totally separate. Just like when you have a marriage, it's, you have the romance side of it, and then if you have kids, then you have the parenting side and you try to meld the two. But I think with dating, you should have the dating lane and the parent lane, and it should be separate until
ready. We can hit that next level of
that. I mean, do what you want, but
that's just the course we found.
To work well. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
So do you have any questions I want to just make sure. Yeah. Okay. Do you have any questions for me while I'm here? I know I babbled a lot, so probably.
Well, no, I like that. I like the open,
open
form and everything. I think it goes well better that way. You can just be yourselves just talk. And I think touched on it before, just becoming a parent, it opens you up to a whole new world. Yeah. I've had a lot of friends, I have a lot of relatives, they were parents, and I was like, cool, I became a parent, and it was like this whole new world just opened up for me. That's where true. I was just like, how did I not know about this? Like a secret society or something like that, or I just didn't get the memo, or and it's like so intriguing to see and talk to other parents and to have all that fun. I'm still in the process of
sorry to interrupt. Do you feel like the way you're describing, do you feel like you should have had kids sooner, or you're still okay with?
I'm still okay. I mean, obviously, you know.
You can't hope to have better partners. But do you ever think about that? Like, I should have started sooner. This ain't that bad. No,
I mean, no. I was a wild child, let alone wild early 20s. Most of my accomplishments in my life I did throughout my early 20s into my early 30s, I guess I would say. Like me seeing now the work that it takes to have a child and the work that you have to have for them, the time, the patience and things of that nature. I see the struggle within single mothers, and being that my mom was a single mother itself, and knowing that could I have done all the stuff that I've done while having a child, and I probably would have. It would have taken me a lot longer than it did. You know, I lived all over this country for the most part, with the military when I was active duty, and even in the National Guard aspect, it has me all throughout the states, up and down the East Coast. And I've experienced a lot of things that I feel that having Jacob earlier probably would have given me the opportunity to do so. You know, so the age that I have him at now at 35, I'm totally happy with it. I talked to my niece now, and I let her know, like, you know, she's 21 now. And I let her know, like, hey, there's so much stuff you can do. I'm not saying don't have them, but if you can prolong it a little bit, get yourself together. Financially, mentally ready for a child, it's so much better. You know, a lot of us grew up with parents where they struggled because they had us early and they couldn't then do the things that they planned in their lives to make our lives better, but essentially did it down the road. When you have them at a later age, you're able to have that time to do all that stuff and prepare yourself to have the kids. So even my brother and my sister, they said, you know what, Tony, like, you did it the right way. You know, you waited, you did everything and anything you wanted to do.
Don't tell the kids.
Yeah. Don't tell the kids that, exactly.
Between us.
Yeah.
You did it right.
And, you know, it's just one of those things because, I mean, just the opportunities and things that I've done between 20 and 33, I guess I would say, it's, you know, a lot of stuff. And just on a whim, I was like, well, yeah, I'm staying over here for a couple months, or I'm going to this state for a couple months, or I got this training out here, or I'm doing this, you know, it's really good. It's really good. So no, I wouldn't change anything. I can definitely go on about that for sure.
I have no doubt. Yeah. And I think that statistically, it's been said that older parents are more patient, more settled, because obviously having a child takes tons of patience. Look, you can be an impatient parent, but you're going to have an impatient kid. And there's going to be a lot of quotes, problems that come from that style of parenting. Yeah. Patience is number one. And I think, you probably did do it right. I shouldn't say that. I'm okay. I'm kind of like the, you know, a roll with the punches style of person. And I, you know, and if life has taught me nothing, it's that the best laid plans. You think you're like planning everything out and forget it. That's it. It just goes up in smoke. God had plans for you.
There's some people that they do a great job, and you know, having kids at an early age, and they're just, you know, headstrong on what they want, and they make it happen, and which is awesome. You know, and I applaud them as well. It's just a matter of getting through it. You know, getting a good schedule going on, having a good mindset of what you want in life. If you have your partner to help you out accordingly and co-parent with you as well, it makes things so much easier on both parties. You know, and even then some. I have Jacob soon to be every other week for the full week. And I feel it gives me just that enough time to do what I need to do without having my son to worry about, because he's with his mom. But then it all gives me that time to, now I could do weekend with Jacob stuff, or I could just do father and son stuff. And it kind of like just gives me that happy medium of, I don't have him 24/7. I can wake up to him every single morning of his life. But it then gives me time to build on who I need to be as a father, as a career professional, mm-hmm. and also just as a, I guess a mediator, right? Yeah. Or a co-parent to yeah. then, you know, focus on that, you know, have a life, have a love life.
I say having kids is like its own job. Literally, it's like getting a full-time job with no breaks and vacation, you know, stuff like that. But then, and that's in the scope of a relationship, but you know, I'm constantly kidding around about this fact in that, you know, what we said to earlier in the, in our DMs, but like married people want what we have, we have breaks built in, you know, mm-hmm. and as much of, you know, it doesn't, being a co-parent doesn't make you less of a parent. You're still a parent all the time. And P.S. nobody, no person on earth is with their child 24/7, 365. No one's doing that. And anyone who's doing that is probably bonkers now.
Yeah.
So it's just not normal. What is normal is taking breaks. What is normal is involving your extended family, you know, your brother, your sister, your mom, having those, giving the kids their free time to go spend time with their cousins, or, you know, just sit with their siblings and do whatever the heck they're doing. And, you know, not always like in the face. So that's, you know, that's, like you said, it's important that you have both, because you're still, you know, you're still who you are as an individual, but now you're raising an individual.
Yes.
And the key word there is individual. So you have to be able to ebb and flow with him. So.
Oh, yes.
Well, I won't keep you longer because I could talk to you the rest of the day.
Definitely, definitely.
We'll do, maybe we'll do a part two in 6 months to check in.
That would be great. That would definitely be great. And for sure.
How things are going, because you're going to go to court and you're going to file some extra things and just see how it's going, because 6 months can make a big difference. And not for nothing, 2020 has been what? Like, I don't know. Close to Armageddon? I don't know.
Yeah, but just about. I even told people, I was like, you know, my 2020 without COVID was 2020 still. So with COVID on top of it, it was like, look, at this point in my life, anything is possible. I don't even know.
You're not
like,
even surprised by anything, right?
No. 2020 has opened my eyes that when somebody says, oh, it could be worse, I totally accept. Yes. You're absolutely right. It could definitely get worse.
Could be worse. Yeah, you could be a serial killer. No.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, you could be somewhere in the country just chopping bodies up or something like that. I don't know. Like, who knows? It's possible these days.
That's funny.
Hey guys.
Well, anyway, yeah. Let's do a check in. Let's check in.
That'd be great. Definitely. Let's
see how you're doing in a few months. Not a few months, but like 6 months. We'll see how 2021 goes, and if the world's still around, we'll.
Yeah, 2021 is looking positive for me, so I'm really. Fingers crossed, like, look, unless pigs start flying and things of that nature, then I'm like, all right, look, I've been here before. I'm not going to expect anything else.
Put me on, I don't know, where would we go if pigs started flying? I just don't even, what happens then?
I don't know. Put me on the next rocket ship out of here. I'm out of here.
And that comes with its own boatload of crap, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my friend, I will see you on the flip side.
A pleasure, as always. Thank you.
Anyone, thank you. Thank you for sharing your life and being so open and real and helping real families to, you know,
thank you.
See what's going on behind the curtain, right? but if anybody wants to reach Tony directly, I'm going to put all his information in the ups and downs, wherever the wording is supposed to go, in the captions and all that good stuff. And you can reach him on Instagram and Facebook. The pages are called Weekend with Jacob, exactly as that sounds. Again, Weekend with Jacob, and he is an ambassador for the Co-Parenting Collective. So please reach out to him, because what that means is that he is open to paying it forward and sharing his story and helping. I'm assuming you help moms too if they reach out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't discriminate or anything like that.
Yeah, to moms and dads. everywhere.
Yes, yes. And it's crazy you said that. I've had a friend of mine, she actually brought me onto one of her shows, and it was a bunch of moms came on. And to get that dad's point of view, that male point of view, they were like, we never thought about that or figured that much. And it was great. No. So yes, men,
I'm all about dads. I'm all about dad's perspective. Cause I, like I told you, I have a son, and one day he had said that he wants to be a dad. So one day he'll be a dad, and I would hate to have him be stereotyped or subjected to a lot of the narratives. I'm taking a deep breath because even if I just think about it, really, I would hate to have my son subjected to a lot of the narratives and stereotypes. Yeah. And I just feel like, or look, I've got a father of my own. Like I'm not down for it. You hear that? Okay. So with that, I will let you go. Have a great rest of your day, and
Likewise. Okay. Definitely for sure.
Thanks again.
Have a great one.
It was awesome. Thank you. Okay, bye.